So for intro basics, this might be unknown to you, some of you, but the anatomy of the internet is just a collection of a large collection of servers, computers that connect to each other and reply back to each other with information. Each server is addressed by an IP address, which is a uniquely addressed unique ad address, but that identifies that location of that server. The components, you might have seen, you might have heard these mentioned before. Internet service provider is a company that has these servers on their in their infrastructure and provides an internet connection to people like us. Domain network service are as a service that resolves a web page. So when you type in www.google.com, the internet service provider looks up the google.com on the domain network service and finds the location of the server of the Google. It goes to that server, let's say it's this one here, and Google then that server replies back with all the Google information that you need to then display it on the web page. The packets are individual components of data that go around between these servers. The main point I want to say here is that the internet is separate from the World Wide Web. The internet is a collection of hardware and connection of servers, cables, satellites that allows things to communicate with each other. The World Wide Web is a collection of web pages and websites sitting on top of that. That's what we're interested in, the websites. But how does a website look? What I want to do is I want to create a website with you. I want to show you how it creates one, how you can create one, and show you the elements of it. And you know, things will be a bit more clear, I hope. What I want to do is I want to create a website of my cat, Cuddles. And this is a very simple web page, as you can see here. It's just a bit of text and a picture. So I can create this text and a picture on any notepad on any computer. Usually it's much more complicated than that, but the simple process is just to create a picture and some instructions of the text. These two elements, the text and the picture, are then sent I send to an ISP, internet service provider. I pay a small fee. They register my website, let's say cuddles.com, and they store the text and the picture in their on their servers in a folder structure. When a user, this cat here, connects to my website, cuddles.com, it connects to the ISP and sends all the packets, all the information to the computer where it's shown. So in this case, it's very, very simple. It shows a simple piece of text and a picture, which are both sent to this computer. And Chrome or Firefox or Internet Browser understands these two elements, combines them into a web page, and then displays this web page to this to my cat friend here. The point of the fact that the point I'm trying to make is the elements of the web page are found in multiple locations, and the copies of it is found in anybody's PC that have accessed that web page. So it's found on my computer where I created my website. It's found in the ISP where the website is stored, and it's also found as a copy in the in my cat friends here. Browser history. Now, let me just show you that real quick, how that looks. But I promise you, this is going to be live. This is my cat website. Very, very simple. A single page, a single photo, and the page is very, very simple. You might be perplexed about these tags, but don't worry about them. Well, this is just HTML code, but essentially is two pieces of a bit of text and image. And what happens is when somebody logs onto it, all they're going to see is this. Very, very simple. But I don't want to just show you a picture of my cat. What I want to do though is I want to monetize it. I want to make the site interesting. So what I do is I want to put a video on it, and I want to put adverts on it so I can make money. And I want to put like a link to my Facebook, a link to my Twitter. So rather than putting a video on my website, which can't cost money, because the ISP will take, if I store a large video on my ISP, it'll take some money to keep it, and it's just not quick enough. I put a placeholder on my website for a YouTube video that I know I've created. And then I also create a placeholder for an advert and a placeholder for Facebook and Twitter. Now, what this does is it doesn't change anything. There are no more elements to this website. It's just a picture and text. But the placeholder is there for the user when they connect to this the website. The browser, the internet browser, will know that this is a placeholder for YouTube and will get that YouTube website. It knows that this is a place for advert. It will go get an advert and so on. These are embedded objects. They're embedded into the web page. So if I go back to my cat website, I still don't have anything here. It's just a picture and still some text, but I've added a few links. And what happens is now it's a much busier website. I have some adverts and I have a YouTube video. Actually, it's a tweet with a YouTube video in it. The point I'm trying to make is there are lots of different elements here, but I only have two that I'm working with. The end user, the person who sees the website at the end, sees a few more elements than I will ever do as a website creator. The final look of the page is not known to me. I know what it generally will look, I don't know general content, but the advert, for example, will be a bit different, and it will change depending on the user browser history. Well, as an example, I have a real life example here. It's a website called The Journal. It's an Irish news website, if you want to call it that, quote unquote. But it's organized in a very similar way. Content is text. There's an embedded YouTube video and an advert. Also links to certain aspects or certain services. When you download this, or when you browse to this website, you will be downloading 84 different files for one single page. Not only will you be connecting to the journal.ie, but you'll be connecting to 12 distinct domains where content is being pulled from. So in this case, there's YouTube being pulled from. There's this advert, I'm guessing it's probably from Google Adverts. And there's these two are from Google Play stores. And there's also Facebook, there's Twitter, and there's also email. So there's 12 domains being connected to, different elements being pulled down. What you're not going to get is you're not downloading the video, zero, and you're downloading 10 adverts. So a single page is created using content from multiple sources and elements. And this advert here isn't going to be the same for everybody. In fact, if I go to this page now, it's going to look completely different. The advert is different. There's now a banner. And these things are the next article is different, because that depends on the time. The video, the web page here that you see, the content of it, depends on the time you're accessing it, the person who's accessing it, and the person's own history. So this advert is for Cooper. I don't know what that is. Maybe the Google thought I like cars. And it's showing me Vodafone because maybe I think I should have better broadband. But the advert is different. The content might be the same. But you might think, well, is the content the same? Because this text is still the same, supposedly, but it can always change. This journal.ie can actually change content on the whim, and we need to preserve it somehow. So we need to know how to go back and find it. The DNA of the web page I showed you before is HTML, the code that the content that makes the web page. It could be as quite as simple as the small cat website I found, I showed you, but it can be turned into quite complex bit like here, like you see here. I'll show you really quickly what that looks like for this site. But it's fairly familiar content, but obviously it's a little more involved. There's a lot of other elements here that we don't really care about. What we do care about is in the source, you can actually hide some content. So the browser, this Chrome browser, when it gets the images and the content from the server from that the journal is stored on, the instructions in the HTML tell it how to display all this content and how to get YouTube and how to get adverts. But it also can just be there and be ignored by Chrome or be ignored by Internet Browser, Internet Explorer, because there's simply nothing that the Internet Browser can do. They're called comments. And if I'm writing a web page, I can put in a comment in my code that just simply sits there and isn't actually displayed in the front end of the website. And this could be found in the HTML. In the HTML here, we can have actual hidden information, some useful hidden information to look into. The first one, for example, is we can actually find the link to the YouTube video itself. Obviously, we can go right click and try and browse YouTube and find the link, but you can actually find it directly embedded in there to see. There is such things as meta tags. A meta tag is essentially a piece of information that's there to describe the web page for the use of Google and other search engines, but it's not there for us to see. Okay, so it's completely optional for the browser, the web creator, to put these meta tags in, but they can. And then for reputable pages, for larger websites, they do put them in, simply make searching by Google more easier. The one that's useful here is the article post date and the content and even the author's name, because the author's name might not be actually shown on the website. It's actually shown in the journal, but the time and the date it was posted on isn't. I talked to you about the comment tag. A comment tag is a bit of text hidden in the DNA, the HTML, that isn't displayed on the front end of the website. Now, these are quite useful because they're typically put in by the website designer as a comment to themselves, because they're writing the web page or they design it, and they might say, oh, well, this is where I'm going to put in my code for this and the other, as a comment to themselves. They're not really there for you to see. But if we inspect the HTML, we might be able to see that and get some more insights into this. And finally, there's also a hidden tag where you can pre-fill some forms, but we won't dwell too much on that. The main content that you want to look into is the comment and the meta tag that is kind of not really evident by just looking at the page on the front. There are dynamic elements to the web page. Now, as websites became more bigger and more useful, it became obvious that simply looking at a static web page or picture of a cat or static text is a bit boring. So what happened was some very clever people developed JavaScript and other tools such as Flash and HTML5 that make the website more dynamic. So rather than just saying put text here as an instruction, they send you in the HTML a program, a small little program that will run on the browser in Chrome. So it's more like a sometimes it's like a form where if you click a few things, something happens, or a database, or before with their video games. The JavaScript essentially is there to make things more dynamic, and the behavior of the website then is more interesting than just a static page. So taking a picture of a website isn't good anymore. You want to take a video or a series of screenshots on how the website behaves. Excuse me. As the internet developed and web pages became more elaborate with JavaScript and HTML and Flash and whatnot, a new movement, as we might understand it to be called, the social media movement, came into being. And it kind of split the web into two halves. The one being web 1.0 and another being Web 2.0. The Web 1.0 is, well, the original use of the internet or the World Wide Web, where the content is simply consumed. You read content, you watch videos, and you do nothing else. You just, it's a static web page, or it could be also a dynamic web page, but they're there just to consume content. There's no interaction. It was used for creating and disseminating content rather than anything else. As opposed to now, we have Web 2.0, where a new iteration of the web, where users are encouraged to contribute to the content of the website. So you have comments, you have social media, you have even original websites like news articles and news websites having comment section on the bottom. So they encourage people to add in content. Wikipedia is a good one as well, where you have social people, you have massive people comment or interacting with the website and making their own content. The point of this is, of course, is if you're asking people to add content, you are then outsourcing your own content creating responsibilities. And the website that you have may now show things that you are not really aware of it's showing. Usually that's fine, you know, people are nice. But if, you know, as we all know, social media can develop and degrade into like online harassment and other things like that. So if the social media is contributing content to the websites, we also want to preserve that. And how can we preserve that? And how can we get the history of it? Because we want to make sure that the person who made the comment or made the social media post hasn't changed in the past, and we can rely on the evidence. One also important thing of social media is also, if we're looking at a single post or a single comment, is probably not enough. We want to look at the whole history the context of that comment, where in the conversation it's coming from, who the person is replying to, what else did they say, and what is the history of the user. So it's when you're preserving social media, you're not really just preserving a single instance of a post or content or or comment or web page. You're usually preserving a lot more than that, a big larger web evidence. So for a web 2.0 page, we're not going to actually hard code content anymore. So if I'm a Facebook or Twitter or whatever, I'm not gonna create content. I'm gonna create infrastructure for the social users to create content. So what I do as a web page creator, I create a template. I create an infrastructure of what a web page will look like, where things will go, and then I allow users to fill that in. Okay, so here I have my good old cat web page, and I have now removed the text that I put in originally, and I removed the picture because that's just my one. It's not really interesting. And I've made it a social media site. So I've allowed people to come and post their own text, post their own images, and create an account and use this template to create their own page. So the final look is consistent. And I've created the framework of my site. It is up to the user to contribute content. The point of this is my example of a cat web page, a cat media, a social media personality, is these pictures, this content that the official Grumpy Cat person has put on, the about page, the links, you have photos, you have posts, you have comments, they're stored not as a web page on a server, but as in a database. Okay, so whenever this my user friend here logs onto Facebook, the infrastructure is downloaded, but Facebook then queries its own database, pulls up the official Grumpy Cat's account, and takes all the elements that build that web page from that database and sends it on. So what we're as forensic investigators interested in is, we're not really interested in the framework of the web page, because that is not really what we're looking for. We're interested in the content. And so we're interested in the database. That becomes important when we're doing collections, when we're doing a preservation or a collection from Facebook. or Web 2.0 page, it might be easier just to get the database elements rather than the page itself. We'll come back to this in a minute. Social media is obviously just more than just Facebook and Twitter. Normal pages like the journal, for example, like the original cat video that I showed earlier, has comments on the bottom as well. So there's a social web. It's not just social media, but a social web where lots of different websites are adding comments and conversations into their sites. You also see some forums and shop reviews and things like that. But for Reddit, to go back to our Wall Street SEC site, I'm going to show you what that looks like. If you haven't seen it before, it might look too interesting. It's a deceptively simple website. So I'm going to this you deep fucking value account. This is Gil, and you can see that he's put posts up going back months, but all he has done is he's put a screenshot of his stock trades as a position. Let's see where he's at to kind of promote conversation within the community. Each post has comments, and when you browse to this website, you'll notice that not all comments are loaded at the same time. This is the JavaScript element of it. And if we're looking at a single web page, you're not seeing its entire content. That's important because Reddit is structured that way. And when we do collections and when we do preservations, we need to be aware that some replies and some content is hidden and we can't see it immediately. I'll do something else. And as I'm clicking here, obviously, this is a live site. If you see something, offends you, I'm sorry, but yeah, it's a social media site. Keith Gill also not only just posts positions or how stocks are doing, but he also comments on things. And we'll all be wanting to take a preservation of that. So in Reddit specifically, posts can be uploaded and a person could comment on those posts, but they can also delete those posts. And they can be removed by the moderator as well. So obviously, with a social media site, if I post something on a website that's against the rules or not appropriate, the moderator or the administrator can delete that content. And it's and Reddit is quite a well-administered site, but some sites might be less so. So you have these other websites that work on top of Reddit or just in general work on websites to archive them and for us to see previously removed information. So websites like Remove Edit exist to take backups of Reddit history and Reddit comments so that you can see what's been deleted in the past. Doesn't always work. If a comment has been deleted too quickly or a post was deleted too quickly, you won't see it here at all. And of course, there's archive.org, where it's an organization that archives the entire internet, or at least tries to. And you can see snapshots of certain websites as they've been archived on this service. But I want you to introduce you to another type of media, social media, a forum. So Reddit is a singular monolith that is developed specifically for its community. It's a unique software. While a forum like this, like boards.ie, is a general forum that was just created by an organization called Boards and is there for a specific community, in this case, the Irish community, where Irish, usually, people go and talk about whatever they want to talk about. In this forum, it's organized slightly differently. Not only do you see a page like this, but a single conversation can span multiple web pages. So it's not only found in one page, but multiple web pages. And if I want to preserve a conversation, I need to preserve the all web pages as well. The software, and I'm glossing over this quite a bit, is created by a company called V Bulletin. V Bulletin is a forum creating software, as a forum creating organization. It creates a great software that I can buy and make a forum, and then make it on my website. So if I have my cats webpage and I want to make a forum called Cats Conversations, I don't need to create all the infrastructure, make a social website from scratch. I just need to buy a copy of VBulletin and call it catsconversation.ie, and the look and feel will be exactly the same as this one here, as you see on the boards. The reason I say that is because the scale. You have one Facebook site, you have one Twitter, and you have one Reddit. Okay, they're quite big, but there's thousands or hundreds of thousands of websites with VBulletin in it. Or these forums in them. So these sites like BuddyPress, VBulletin, XN Foro, and PHP BB are providers of forum software that simple people can buy and create an own community out of. And last check, I think this is a bit out of date at the moment. You have hundreds of thousands of sites, and posts are different as well. The number of posts and comments are indescribable, innumerable. So what do we need to know in this conversation, this presentation, is that when I create a website, it's when you look at a website, it's made out of multiple elements that are not always known to the original creator. So as an advert, I put a placeholder for my webpage, but I don't know what exactly will be shown. It's dynamic. So if I look at a webpage at different times, it'll look differently. And some content might not be visible at all. So I want to preserve all elements of this web page and all the hidden content of it as well, so that I can go offline and inspect it in my own time and make sure that and ensure that content doesn't change. Social media is organized differently. You have Reddit that's organized differently to boards, and you have to accommodate all of these things. And the most important thing that you want to preserve for social media is not just a single post, but a content or context and post before and after to see what was said in that conversation.